Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba here in Dallas, Texas, the United States of America, broadcasting live here on Blog Talk Radio on the Mwamba World Outreach Global Ministry. I welcome you all over the world, wherever you might be listening to us on this broadcast. I tell you what, we are here to build the kingdom of God. Our focus is to train men and women in the things of God, in the doctrine of God, and get them equipped to become able-bodied men and women who are going to go out and put the devil to where he belongs. We've been having a great time of study through the week and the past months that we have been looking through the Word of God. And I can assure you we have seen a tremendous response from listeners. We are almost getting close to 7,000 listeners around the world. This is no mean achievement. We thank you all for listening in and tuning in and getting into our archive and pulling out our past, you know, broadcasts and building yourself up in the most holy faith. It's important as a child of God to realize that God wants you to be on the cutting edge of ministry. I remember a preacher here in America by the name of Larry Lee. He had this 300,000 campaign of raising prayer warriors. And he that saying, we must be on the cutting edge of ministry. Cutting edge of ministry simply means we are sharp, we are ready to act, we are up to the business of the kingdom of God. And so it's with this great impetus and backing in the spirit realms that we want to develop and build up an army for the Lord that's going to go around the world to change the world for the better. See, the Lord's coming is getting nigh. See, even when Jesus was here on earth, he said, the disciples asked him, he said, Lord, when is your coming going to be? Then the Lord said, well, no one knows when the coming will be. Neither the Son. This is the secret that the Father has. But there are signs that will show you that the coming of the Lord is getting nigh. You hear of wars, rumors of wars. Famine is going to break out around the world. There will be a catastrophic event that is going to happen in nature. Like the we have had the tsunamis and we have had a big impact from earthquakes and different kind of phenomena happening as pertains to nature. These were some of the signs that the Lord gave to his second coming. But you know, my vision as Mwamba, the way I look at the coming of the Lord, you know what? I see it like this world is still going to run for quite a while. That's how I see it. I've got the imminency of the coming of the Lord in my heart. But you know what? The world is going to run, I'm telling you, and things are going to change. You'll be very surprised that 2020 will be here, 2045 is going to be here, 2050 will be here, 2060 will be here. And before we realize it, we'll be hitting in 2080, 90, and then maybe the year 3000. But the point I'm trying to make is we never can tell exactly when the Lord is going to come. That's the secret between him and the Father and the Trinity as it was. Our main aim is to make sure that we ourselves are ready to get into the kingdom of God when our time or our clock hits and says, God says up in heaven, he says, time up. You know what I mean when God says time up? That means your time of existence on earth is over. You got to get into the other world. That's why we are here on earth right now, to prepare for the other world. And I can assure you, people think, oh, hey, hi, I don't think there is another world. Oh, well, you know, like I said last time, just think of it. Think of the creations of God that God has done. Think of the planets. Think of the galaxies. Think of the way God has flung the whole universe into shape. Do you mean to tell me that there is no meaning to life? Do you mean to tell me that life will just be here like boom, we pass like a brief, like the Bible says, like mist on the grass, appears in the morning and in the afternoon it's gone? Like a flower in the morning shows up and blossoms and in the evening it dries up. Do you think life is going to be is like that? I don't think so. I know life is brief, but what I'm trying to say is life continues on into eternity. It's either you're going to live, it's either you're going to live in heaven or you're going to live in hell. So you got to make a decision while you are alive. Which side of the line you're going to be? You see, it's important you make that decision, excuse me. Because if you don't do it now, when are you going to do it? When? There will be no chance for you to do it when you're in the other world. Because you see, in the other world, there is no room for repentance. In the other world, there is no room for you to pray. In the other world, there is no room for you to hear a message preached like I'm preaching. In the other world, there is no room for you to call upon God. You can only call upon God now while you are alive. Once you pass on from this world to the next, that's the end of the game. You are in another environment. You are in another place. You are in another zone. And let me tell you what. When you are in another zone, in another world, you are in a different place altogether. And you can never call upon the name of the Lord. So while it is God today, if you hear his voice, call upon the name of the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, save me from eternal destruction, and he'll save you. God is real. I was almost surrounded by some crazy guys. They were armed to the teeth. And they were going to take me out. But you know what? God protected me. It's amazing. God is real. I'm telling you. You call upon his name, he will save you. He will grant you eternal life. He will grant you a home in heaven. We serve a God who hears and answers prayer. We serve a God of wonders and miracles. We serve a God, and to him shall all flesh call upon his name. I'm so excited about the Lord Jesus. You know, you are my church. I preach to you wherever you are listening to me. I'm so excited. I have a big church in Africa, in Zambia, and which I founded when I came from Bible school in Nigeria, and it's growing and growing. And I've gone around the world. I've preached in Europe. I've preached in Amsterdam. I've been to South Wales. I've been to Paris. I've been to London, my friend. I've been to Port Talbot in South Wales, in Cardiff. I've preached all over there. I've canvassed Sweden. I've preached all over Sweden. I've been to Vorgoda. I've been to Harlingsås. I've been to Henne. I've been to Kumla. These are cities in Sweden. I've preached the word of God all over the world. I've moved, except for the east. I haven't gone as far east, but I've been crisscrossed Africa. You know, Africa's got divisions of states and countries. I've been to Malawi, I've been to Tanzania, I've been to Kenya, I've been to Gabon, Libreville, I've been to Nigeria where I was trained for 2 years, I've been to the Cameroons, I've been and stopped over in Uganda, Kampala, Uganda, I've been to South Africa, I've been to Botswana, preached in Gaborone and Sorowe. I've been to Johannesburg in South Africa, preached there in South Africa with my friends there. I've been to many countries around the world. Here in America, I've crisscrossed, my friend. I've preached and lived in New York. I've preached and lived in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I've preached in St. Louis, Missouri, in Crystal City, Missouri, in Aeolia, Missouri. I've been to I've been to Atlanta, Georgia, North Carolina. I've been to Greensboro, North Carolina. I've been to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I've been to Washington, D.C. I've preached in Washington, D.C. I've been to Maryland. I've ministered the Word of God in many of the states here in the United States of America. I went to college in Massachusetts for my Master of Divinity degree at Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary in Southampton, Massachusetts. I've been to Boston, Massachusetts. I've moved, I've been to Connecticut. The way I say it, you know, people say Connecticut? Connecticut. I've been there. I've been all over the eastern side block. You know, I've traversed the land, sharing the gospel and saving message of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord settled me here in Dallas for a purpose. To teach the Word of God on radio, to preach the uncompromised message on television, and that's what I'm doing. And so today, my friend, we are here to, if you look on my message on the tablet, whatever you're using, I've got a message there entitled Joshua's Commandment and Mandate for Success. Say with me. Joshua's commandment and mandate for success. I took my text from the book of Joshua itself, which is believed was written by Joshua, and it's Joshua chapter number 1, reading from verse 8. Now, if you look at the background, especially in my Amplified Bible, it says introduction. This book appropriately bears the name of its leading character, Joshua, who was from the tribe of Ephraim. Numbers 3:13-8. He was commissioned as leader before Moses' death. Deuteronomy 31. That is, he was going to be leader of the people before Moses actually died. Preparation for his ministry included captain of Israel's army in repulsing the Amalekites. Exodus 17:8-16. Was assistant to Moses. Exodus 33:11, one of 12 spies sent into Canaan, Numbers 13:2-14, designated as successor to Moses because of his distinctive service, Numbers 27, verse 18-23, and also you see it in Deuteronomy 1, verse 38. The contents of this book primarily account for the period of Joshua's leadership of Israel. Joshua, whose personal success was definitely related to his attitude toward God and the Mosaic revelation, immediately made the Israelites conscious of their relationship with God by observing the Passover, Joshua 5:10, and the rite of circumcision, Joshua 5:3, and by exercising memorials of stone, Joshua 4:20, after they crossed the river Jordan. The miraculous manner in which the city of Jericho was conquered, Joshua 5:13-6:27, should have been the basis for a reasonable faith in God that the rest of Canaan could also be occupied by them. The conquest of Ai, the defeat of the Amorite League in the south, and the raising of Hazor, the Canaanite stronghold in the north, gave the Israelites possession of the main arenas or the main areas. Although 2.5 tribes, Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh, had occupied the east bank of the Jordan under Moses, the rest of the tribes now received their location under Joshua. The tribe of Levi was given 48 cities throughout the land for its possession, so that they as priests and sanctuary workers could adequately render the religious service assigned to them. Before Joshua died, he warned his people against idolatry. He publicly renewed the covenant between God and Israel, admonishing the Israelites to maintain a wholehearted devotion to and love for God. With conviction, he expressed his own determination to serve God. Joshua 24, verse 15. Now, my message today is the commandment and mandate given to Joshua for his success. Joshua 1:8. This was the commandment given to him by the Lord. This book of the law, shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. Friends, this is the in a nutshell, this is how you become successful in the things of God. Not only in the things of God, but in the business world, in whatsoever you're doing under the sun. This book of the law. Now, in our everyday language like today, we can say this Bible and its words or its teachings shall not, or the scriptures shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then and then only shall you make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Mind you, the making of the way prosperous is up to us. You make your way prosperous. God gives us the key of making our way prosperous. How do we make our way prosperous? By observing the book of the law, by following the commandments that are given there in the book of the law. You understand? The word of God has got such power that it can torpedo you to the top of things in life. You know, there are many, many forces that attack us as children of God. I have been through the valley. I've been through the rough and thick and thin. We have lost stuff in my home. One time we lost everything. We lost all furniture. We lost the car. We lost everything. You say, Bishop Mwamba, how did you lose all that? You know, there are events in life that happen that sometimes you cannot resist. But listen, the goodness of the Lord has been with us. I lost all my library. All my books gone. You say, how can that be? Yes, it happened. But you see, God has restored the library to me. And my godly books, they are coming back. And my library is being reestablished. Why? Because I'm determined never to give up. We're going to buy a new home. Why? Because we are determined never to give up. We're getting a brand new car. Why? Because we are determined never to give up. You know, the devil is going to throw blockages in your path. Look at the Apostle Paul, how he suffered. The Apostle Paul, one time at Lystra, he was stoned and left for dead. He says in one of his epistles, I think it's in the Philippians, he says, I know of a man who was caught to the second heaven and saw things and heard things that cannot be uttered. Who was that? That's him. He's talking about himself. I know of a man, you know, because, you know, we human beings are spirit beings. We have a soul and we live in a body. He's talking about himself when he was stoned and left for dead at Lystra. His spirit went up to heaven. He heard the voice of God and he saw things that could not be heard. He was caught to the third heavens. This man, Paul, still never threw in his towel and said, hey, I'm done. I've been beat like crazy. This is the end of me. No, he still kept on running for Jesus. See, there is a cloud of witness that looks at us every day. As we walk this walk, there is a cloud of witness looking at us and encouraging us. Say, come on, Bishop Mwamba, run for Jesus. Come on, my sister, my brother, run. Angels are there looking. Angels are there ready to help us when we are tumbling and failing in our faith. And God himself is there to inspire us and give us more energy by the Holy Ghost to continue on this race. But you know, the commandment given to Joshua was, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. I've come to discover, you know, that the word of God is alive. And when you meditate in it, it will change your life. The word of God will keep you away from sinning. You know, you got so many blockages before you actually sin. when you're in the Word of God. Because the Word of God has got power to cleanse you. The Word of God has got power to energize you within you. See? The Word of God has changed your perspective about life and caused new things to happen in your life. See, the Word of God is alive. There's nothing as alive as the Word of God. By the Word of God, the Bible of Hebrews, the Hebrews Bible tells us in chapter 11, by the Word of God we know that the worlds that we see were spoken by the Word of God into being. Everything we see in creation, the mountains, the rivers, the trees, the animals, were spoken into being by the Word of God. And it will amaze you when you come to find out that actually Jesus Christ, who is the second person of the Trinity, is the Word of God. Through him was all things made that we see, invisible, visible, and invisible. They were created to his honor and to his glory. It's amazing to find that Jesus, the Son of God, because of the price he paid, he's been given a name that is above every name. That at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee must bow, every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But friends, the most important thing I want to get to you today is, for you to succeed, use the Word of God, speak the Word of God. You got no money, just say, my God shall provide according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You got no money, give, and it shall be given unto thee. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give into your bosom. You got no money. The Bible says, bring all your tithes and offerings unto mine house, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me herewith, if I will not open up the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there will be no enough room for you to receive it. The key factor, friends, is to give to God. Because God is not going to rain dollars from heaven. The dollars are with us. When we work, we have the money. That's the money God wants to use in his work, expansion of the kingdom here on earth. I've handled so much of dollars in my hands up to this moment of time. God blessed me with so much money, especially when I was in Africa, did mission work here in America and Europe. Had friends of mine cut me checks from England. Brother Ernest Glaive cutting me, I think he cut me almost £1,500. A check of £1,500 he sent to me for the work of the Lord. I've had friends of mine like the Ashkana blessing me as I went to missions in Sweden. Churches raising up offerings for me. I've had friends of mine here in the United States of America, while my office in Belton, Texas, looked into all my accounts. They would cut me a check, like $2,000, after I preached a honorarium. I've had friends of mine there in Crystal City give me offerings after preaching the message of the kingdom. I've had people bless me, individual Christians, just dedicated men and women of the kingdom. Give me figures, you'll be amazed. $5,000 in cash in my hand for the work of the ministry when I was living in Africa. $10,000. They give me stock. The stock sales go to my office so that, you know, they can give them a non-profit, what they call, they can get a rebate. As it was, it's has to do with tax. We had an office there in Belton. They used to do accounting for all of us who were missionaries, so that people, when they gave, they were properly compensated for through the IRS write-off. When they send, gave money to non-profit organization, we are under WIGO, World Encounter Gospel Organization. They handled all my finances. See, before money got to me, it would have passed through WIGO, who had a format whereby each and every one of us was catered for under their special evangelical fellowship for financial accountability. But the point I'm trying to make here is that God has never failed me. If God never failed me, He will never fail you. If God never failed Joshua, how can he fail you? If God never failed David, the king, how can he fail you? If God never failed Samson, how is he going to fail you? If God never failed Solomon, the wisest king that ever lived, how can he fail you? He would never fail nor forsake you, the Bible said. I challenge you in the name of the Lord. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba here in Dallas, Texas, the United States of America, challenging you that this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I can assure you, success is on the way to you. God will bless you. God will build your faith. God will call you to see your heart's desires come to pass. Beloved one, this is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba here in Dallas, Texas, signing off and telling you we love you. And we'll be with you again tomorrow. God bless you and bye-bye. I want to talk to you more tomorrow. So please, watch out for my broadcast. For we are here for you. So watch out for the broadcast and join us. And let us work together to build God's kingdom. Just look for my broadcast. You see it there on the page. I've got Facebook page. And also you can look on Blog Talk Radio. Just click on it, .com, and say Mwamba World Outreach. And there I will be. God bless you and bye-bye.